Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for who you are and whose we are. We thank you because we are called by your name. Glory to God. You are our Father. We are your children. And we love you and us. Such a day as this, the world celebrates, especially the United States, Father's Day. We remember our own Father too, Father in heaven, a Father indeed you have been to us. And we thank you. We pray, Lord, that today the fathers who have been shepherds in their homes, that they will be honored and feel honored and blessed today. As we remember our own Heavenly Father, our lives, our fatherhood, we try to pattern after you, Lord. And we just pray that today will be a day of joy and blessing for all. And as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, our Heavenly Father, let's talk about him and all the shepherding fathers in our lives. Praise the Lord. As a Father has revealed himself to us, you know, through our Lord Jesus Christ, especially. In the Old Testament, they hardly knew God as a Father. Well, I know Isaiah spoke about it. Maybe one place or two. And maybe Jeremiah spoke about it in one place. But they didn't quite think of God as Father. You know, I mean, he was Yahweh, of course. He was God Almighty. And God used to introduce himself that, you know, first he said, I am that I am. Then he, you know, called himself, introduced himself in different ways. You know, I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the Lord thy God, thy Savior, and so forth. But people didn't really enter or know that relationship of he being their Father in the Old Testament. But Jesus, when he came, he made a lot of efforts in changing that, always redirecting his disciples and the people he talked to think of God as their Heavenly Father. He would say, your Father in heaven. And he talked about, you know, your needs, your basic needs and so forth. He would say, your Father in heaven. Always saying, your Father in heaven. Even when he taught them to pray, he said, well, when you pray, tell him, our Heavenly Father, come to him as your Father. You know, just think of him that way, you know, and rather than thinking of him as, you know, consuming fire all the time, we know he is a consuming fire, but Jesus said, look, think of him as your Heavenly Father. And he would even appeal to the fatherhood in the people he was talking to, say, you yourselves, being fathers, you know how to do good things to your children. Well, how much more then, you know, your Heavenly Father. So, you know, and we want to look at him from that perspective today. As we celebrate Father's Day, the number one father in our lives, you know, is our Heavenly Father. And his Father to us all. That's one thing we have in common. If we are his children, then we have that one thing in common. We may have been born into different earthly families, but, you know, according to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15, all of us really have the same heavenly last name. You know, so, and what is that last name? Well, let's read it. And this is the relationship that we should enjoy and rejoice in. knowing that He is our Father. Paul was talking about some things, and he said here, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So, we bear His name. Those that are in heaven bear His name. Those of us on earth now, we bear His name. I mean, we share that in common. Isn't that beautiful? Share His name. It's His name. Hallelujah. And let's think about some of the attributes, you know, that Jesus introduced concerning our Heavenly Father. You know, how, and even in some of His stories, he would talk about Father. He used Father in some of His stories. In fact, some of the profound lessons that He would give in the scriptures, He would say things like, well, a father had two sons, and so on and so forth. He told parables like that, at least two parables. He told like that about a father had two sons. One parable about him talking, you know, using that analogy in showing us Israel versus the Gentiles, what was in mind of God. He said, well, a father had two sons. He went to the first and said, go and walk in my field today. And he said, I go not. And he flat out refused. And because he refused, the father didn't say, I'm going to punish you or put you in timeout or any such thing. He said, okay, fine. He just quietly went to the second one and said, go and do such and such in my field today. And he said, I go right away, sir. But he didn't go. And eventually, the one that initially said, I go not, he actually repented and went. And Jesus asked, you know, the Jews and everybody was talking to him, said, well, you know, which of these two did his father's will? And they said, well, the one that went and did, the father told. Okay. So that was one parable he told about fathers. You know, a father that had two sons. He used that concept in some of his parables. Now, as you think about that parable in particular, like I said, you know, there was nothing really said in that parable about, you know, the father getting angry and all of that just because he told one to go. And if we look at it prophetically, you know, it was their disobedience, actually. Disobedience of Israel as a chosen people. Paul explained that in the book of Romans quite a bit, especially in Romans chapter 11, and talked about it. Disobedience caused, you know, the gospel to switch over to the Gentiles. At the end, of course, the Gentiles themselves, you know, they become disobedient and don't do it. And so gospel switched back to the Jews. For reference, you can read Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. I'm just going to leave that there. I'm not going to read it. That's the parable of the two sons. In that parable, Jesus used the concept of a father to bring out a lesson. I want to talk about the one that was really my favorite of his father parables. So it's my favorite. And you know, we call it the parable of the prodigal son, but it's my favorite of his parables where he talked about father. You can find that lesson in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to tell the story from the father's perspective. You know, so again, in this place, Jesus talked about a certain man that had two sons. Seems as if there was always two sons. And then a younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." Now, the man did not argue. He did not chide the son and do all of these things. Well, he gave to him. Remember also, the scripture says, ask. We dealt with that about 3 weeks ago, the series on ask. Ask and you shall receive. There's nothing wrong with asking. His young son, or the younger, he asked and he received. You know, and then I'm not going to focus too much on the story of the young man, which we know very well, how he went to a far country and wasted his goods with riotous living and so forth. And then later, when he lost, squandered all his money, began to be in want, couldn't, you know, really get someone to hire him or give him food and so forth. Somebody did actually eventually hire him to feed pigs, and they wouldn't even let him eat the food of the pigs. That's how bad it was. So one day, he came to himself and said that, why am I wasting away here when in my father's house there are even servants, you know, have 3 square meals and all of that. So, but let's think of the father's perspective in this story. So, this father, and I'm just going to tell my story. I mean, one thing I learned from Jesus was that he was a good storyteller. So I picked up that attribute from him. Good storyteller. Help me tell good stories too from the Bible. So I love to tell his Bible stories. I just tell them my way. You know, sometimes funny, sometimes revelation inside or whatever. But this man, this father, the whole time that his son was away, he would ask, you know, have you heard from your brother? Brother, now this is my story. The brother, you know, he said, well, from who? But the man, he kept asking. Sometimes he would, sent one of his servants, you know, have you heard about my son? I said, no. Okay, well, you go to this next place over here and see if that's where he went. Go check him out. You know, he could have done all of that. You know, but in his mind, he kept believing that this boy was coming home. And every day, there was a place where he stood at a vantage point to see whether the guy was coming back. But in his heart, he knew he was coming back. He also never gave up on him. But ask again. And sent, you know, perhaps several servants go looking. Someone probably came back and said, yeah, we found him. But he didn't want any part of us. He was just partying. And the guy went down to Sin City. Let's call it that. You know, but the man, you know, in his heart, kept believing. The father kept believing his son would come back. And one of the days while he was there waiting and looking if his son would come back, he saw him afar off. Now, you'd notice that he was the first to notice that his son was coming back. Well, this is how I deduced that he was always on the lookout for him. You know, it wasn't one of his servants that came and told him, oh, your son is back. And it wasn't the older brother that came and told him, oh, your son is back, or my brother is back. No, it was the father himself. Was always on the lookout, and he was the first to recognize that this young man was on his way back, and he saw him afar off. And listen to what he did when he saw him afar off, you know. The Bible says in Jesus' story here that the man, you know, went, arose, ran. Let me read it to you. You know, he said, I'm no more worthy. The man said, you know, he said, this is what the young man said. I'm going to arise. I'm going to go to my father's house and I'm going to say, I've sinned against thee, heaven and earth than before thee and so on. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Now let's look at this. This is in verse 20 of Luke 15. But when he was yet a great way off, how could the father have seen him? Because he was always on the lookout for him. He never gave up on him. He knew he was coming and he was always looking out. You know, even though people he sent, yeah, they shrugged off the brother he has, he didn't care about him. The servants didn't bring him good news, but he never gave up on this young man. He was always out there. My son's coming home. My son's coming home. And then one day when he was a great way off, because he was always in that same stop, you know, vantage point, looking out for him, he saw the man, the young man coming home. And what did he do? Listen to this. This is the best part of the story from the father's perspective. You know, what did he do? Well, let's read it in verse 20. He arose and went toward his father. But when he was yet a great way off, you know, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. Hallelujah. Ran toward him. Didn't even wait for him to come home. He didn't wait to hear, you know, whatever he would say, ready to slap him around, you know, for having done all those things. He knew. He got all those reports. It says right here, wasted his, you know, living with Naratos, living. The father knew all those things. But, you know, he didn't do that. He just ran toward him and fell on him, his neck, and kissed him. Ha! Glory to God. The father's love. And the compassion that he had. So to me, that's the best part of the story. And he celebrated his son that returned home. I mean, it wasn't all about, the boy started to say, you know, blah, 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 I've done it. Enough. I don't want to hear it. Call his mama. Hey, come, my son is back. You know, and celebrated the return of his son. Glory to God. That's the father that we have. That shepherding father. Jesus told this story, you know, in relationship to a man that had 100 sheep and lost one, you know, and went after it in the same chapter. That's why I told that earlier. And so, and the conclusion of each of these stories were, well, likewise, so there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repented or one lost son that comes back home. The father celebrates that. Now that's our heavenly father for you. That's who he is. He celebrated. And when the older son came back and found out what all the noise and, you know, ruckus was all about, and he was angry he wouldn't go in, the father came out. See, you know, always trying to make peace again, even among his children. He came out and said, oh, you know, why are you angry? Why don't you want to come in? You know, the boy went on a rant. I've been here all doing your will all my life. You never gave me anything. And but this now, this your son. Immediately, the older brother in his mind is disowning his brother. This your son who has wasted your living. He got the same reports, you know, from the servants that went and looked for him. Who has wasted your living. Because how did he know? Because the father all sent them out and got reports. Wasted your living with riotous living and all these things. Now he's come by and killed for him the father car. And the father said, no, this your brother. So he's trying to make peace. It's your brother. was lost, and we should rejoice that he's back. Don't think of him as just my son, my wayward son. He's your brother. He has returned. But and I say, well, but in any case, all this stuff that I have is yours. Praise the Lord. I love the story of this father, how he did everything, how he never gave up on the son that wandered away, you know, and he was always looking, sending, wanting to know when he would come back. When he came back, he was the first to know it and ran to him and frankly forgave him everything. He didn't even let him go on around. I've seen and all, forget it. You're my son. You're back. That's what matters. Praise God. Hallelujah. Had compassion on him too. Think of God in those terms. Praise God. That's who he is. And anytime we come back to him, and you know, how many times have we wandered away from him? But yet, always with open arms, there to receive us back. And Jesus, you know, wanting to show us, you know, the love, the care, the role of our Heavenly Father. Because, you know, people didn't know God like that, you know. And so Jesus always telling them. And in Matthew chapter 6, he spent a long time, you know, trying to persuade people to think of God as their shepherd and as their provider and all these things. He said, look. The things that you stress over, your Heavenly Father already knows that you have these needs and he'll take care of you. Worry about it. You know, now, of course, it was hard for the people to think that way, you know, because, you know, they really couldn't relate to God that way. And Jesus always telling us, said, look, take no thought for your life, but you shall eat. What you shall drink, you know, little children in their parents' house, their father. I mean, the children don't have to beg for food, especially think of the a father that is, you know, has all the means, you know, our Heavenly Father has all the means. Now, there are some earthly fathers who, though they are so caring and so loving and will do anything for their children, they don't have the means. And the family may suffer a bit, but in the Father's heart, he wants to do everything. Well, that's not our Heavenly Father. He has the means. So think of a father that actually has the means to provide for his children. You know, I mean, will the children need to beg for bread? Will they need to be stressing over what they will eat or what they will wear? Father will make provision for them. They're the best dressed in this community, that the best dressed in the schools and so forth. I mean, he takes care of them. He, you know, he wants them to be set apart because they are called by his name. And he'll tell them, remember whose son you are when they go to school. You carry this family name, you know, so you remember who you are when you're out there, you know, and he'll make sure they're looking good because he has the means to do it. And Jesus will tell him, look, your Heavenly Father, he knows that you have need of these things. He said, look, think of even his creatures that don't have his nature, that he did not create in his image. He takes care of them. How much more you? You know, I mean, he takes care of the lilies in the field, which one day they're there and the next day they dry up and they're thrown. Sometimes the grass is thrown in the oven. You know, he takes care of them. Look at even the sparrows, he said. He takes care of them. I mean, these sparrows are so cheap, you know, buy two, get one free, Jesus said. He said, but, you know, yet your Father takes care of them. Not one of them falls to the ground without your Father knowing. And he kept telling them, look, don't worry about it. He'll take care of you. Even the very hairs in your head, a number. God knows them all. He will take care of you. Take no thought. What we eat, what will you drink? Where will you shall be cold? You know, he said, look, your Father knows that you have all these needs. So Jesus always presenting the Father in that light. Isn't that beautiful? And, you know, when he was even about to leave, again, talking to his disciples about your father, you know, he said, look, I will not leave you comfortless. You know, I pray the Father and he will send you another comforter, always relating the people back to the Father. Now, men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, children of the Heavenly Father, think of yourself as a child of the Father, you know, who owns everything. You know, that's who he is. The one that will care for you like nobody else. And he can do it too because he has the capacity to do it. Even our earthly fathers who do well by their families, not all of them, but some of them really do. And today, you know, I want to toast and celebrate those fathers who have been the shepherd in their homes, who have been the priest in their homes, who go that more than an extra mile to put food on the table, like people say, do everything for their family, you know, everything. They'll do whatever it takes, hazard their own lives, you know, to get food for their family. I might suffer a lot of things, but they'll do it because they don't want those children to suffer. You know, I thought of God as that kind of father. And I, you know, when my children were growing up, I wanted to be that kind of father. I'd do everything. I'd go to any length. Make sure I earned money that they would never have to think about it. That they would never have to be kicked out of the house. They would never not have their school fees paid. They would never not have clothes to wear and all those things, food to eat. You know, I didn't share with them the things that I suffered to do those things. It wasn't their concern, you know. I just put the food on the table, made sure they had this and this. You know, but there was a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And that's the way our Father is. I just want to think of him that way. And when you approach him, also, think of yourself as his child. I remember my own earthly father, gone now, you know, but there was a time that he was a very senior person in a very, you know, notable company where he worked, a chief accountant and this and this and this. And that company, you know, back in Nigeria in the days, they had a gate, you know, security and everything. You couldn't just go there unannounced. You know, if you went there, you'd stop at the gate, announce your business, they had a phone, you know, and they would call to see if that was the case. And the person on the inside had to confirm. And if it wasn't, if he didn't confirm, they didn't let you in. You know, that was the setting back there. But I remember a few times, I didn't go there all the time, but a few times that I tried to go to see my dad there, you know, when I got to the gate, and they had this, you know, serious security people at the gate, you know, serious enough to deter any unserious guests or undetermined guests. But I remember, you know, each time I got there, I would just mention my dad's name. That's how I used to do it, you know, even when I wasn't expected, you know. I hardly, you know, went there when he was expecting me. I remember two or three times I went. Wasn't expecting me, I just went. You know, even when I wasn't expected. Do you have an appointment? I said, no, but tell him his son is here. It's a true story. And every time I say that, the guy will pick up the phone and say, yeah, send him up. Because his son is here. Hallelujah. You know. That's the way I thought of him. My father, if he knows that I'm here, he will bypass all protocol. Get my son in right now. It's my son at the gate. Send him up. You know. And I used to enjoy that. I mean, you know, there was at least one time I went just to enjoy that feeling. You know, I would say, yeah, your son is here. And he said, come on up. You know, even if I didn't have an appointment, I never did have an appointment. You know, and I recognize God, you know, the Father like that as well. You can always come to him. You don't need to even make an appointment. You always have an appointment. You know, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Open invitation. That's your appointment. You always have one. Jesus making intercession for you all the time. Think of your Heavenly Father like that. So today, as we celebrate Father's Day, let's celebrate our Heavenly Father. Just think of him. I can go on and on and on of all the things that our Father in heaven, so we want you to think of him today. Father in heaven. So Jesus always saying, you know, think of him like that. In fact, even one time Jesus said, look, don't even worry about other people on earth calling them fathers and so forth. You have one Father in heaven. I mean, he was always trying to stress this relationship. And do you know that truly there are some people who, unfortunately, any love that they have experienced from any father is only from God. They might have grown up, unfortunately. They didn't know their earthly father. Thank God that I was not one of those. In fact, the man that I am today, you know, I owe a lot of things to how my father brought me up. So I'm thankful for that. But, you know, that's not the case for everybody. But whether you knew your father, earthly father or not, Jesus said, look, you have one Father in heaven. Glory to God. Now, if we get closer to him, we will not only see him as your Father in heaven, some distant heaven, you know, he will be closer to you, you know, closer to you. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's how God wants us to. You may start out thinking of him as your Father in heaven, you know, some distant heaven. You are here, he's there. That's how we start out on that journey. But as you get closer to him, Jesus said, my Father and I will come to you. And John 14, he was telling them, and again, trying to tell them that, look, I'm right here. Your Father is right here. And he'll be, you can have the same experience. Know him like I know him. He used to tell even the Jews, if I say I don't know him, I'll be a liar like you. I do know him. And I am here at one. And you and him can be one too. And, you know, just think of him that way, he would tell them. He said, look, and if you keep my commandments, you know, look, keeping is something more than even just knowing. You know, you are keepers of these commandments. Not only do them, you keep those things. Those things are always in your heart. And said, I will come to you. My Father and I will make our abode with you. Now, so it's no more this distant heaven relationship that is over there. Well, you know, I said, you know, I in you, you in me. So the more we learn of him, the more we realize that he is not just some distant father in some distant heaven that we don't know anything about. It's right here with you. Never think of him that way. And if you are the son of the king or daughter of the king of kings, the absolute monarch that owns everything, just think of that. I mean, if you were born into a kingdom and the king owned everything and you were the son or the daughter, I mean, how would you be? How would your life be? Think of your father like that. And he has freely given us all these things. And the scriptures are written that we may know the things that are freely given us of God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 64, Isaiah was talking about, well, you know, we've done some things. We're not righteous, we're this and that, and so on and so forth. But he said, but thou art our father. See, they didn't always call God their father. But, you know, Isaiah was appealing to that attribute of God. You know, God from the beginning had a lot of attributes inside of him. Attribute to be a creator. So he created a lot of things. You know, attribute to be God. So he created some people and some things to worship him. And first there were the angels and so forth. You know, and the attribute to be a father. Well, you're a father, and you must have some sons. So in his mind, you know, he would have a son too, the first son that would be like him, and the others that would be like that one. So they would be like him. And you know, it's always like that. So Isaiah was appealing to that attribute of the father. He said, well, but thou art our father. You know, yeah, we know that we've screwed up. We know we've gone everyone our ways, you know, but yet you're our father. And so you cannot be angry with us forever. Isaiah was telling him, you know, let's read this. Can read the whole chapter. It's an interesting chapter, but I don't want to read the whole chapter. Isaiah 64. I'm just going to read verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our father. You know, it's making his plea. You are indeed our father, you know. So we are the clay and you are the potter and we are the work of your hands. You know, so look, when the more we depend on our father, the more he can do for you. You know, that's right. Even my grown children now, you know, I tell my wife, you know, sometimes I say, well, they're grown now. You know, so, you know, but I mean, they're on their own. So I want them to be on their own. You know, you teach them, you send them out, be on their own. But if they come back and I ask, I'm always there. I say, well, I'm not going to butt in their business, but they ask me, you know, so but they got to ask. I'm right there. You know, so, you know, Isaiah's telling the Lord, say, look, you know, we still need you. We are the clay. You are the potter. And the more you depend on him, the more he can do for you. You know, same as he being king in the kingdom. The citizens depend on him, can do more. If the citizens revolt and say we want independence, you know, the colony that revolts and do that, oh, the kingdom can't do anything for them. Leave them. They're on their own. Same thing when we revolt against God in our personal life. Sin is rebellion, you know, against God. It's a declaration of independence. That's what sin is, really. Declaration of independence. I don't need to follow your commandment. I just do what I want. So, okay, fine. You're on your own then. You know, but he's always still sending out signals and different things trying to get you back. But the more you think of him as, you know, this thing in his hand, you say, well, just a clay in your hand. You can mold us any way you want. You think of him like that. He will take care of you. There are times you need to think of him in, you know, and come to him in a position, from a position of strength. See yourself as a son of the king. As, you know, and the Lord say, yeah, that's my boy. Send him right in. Praise God. You know, you always have access. By whom we have access. Romans chapter 5 tells us we have access. And even Hebrews tells us that Christ made a way for us. Come boldly now. So as we celebrate Father's Day today, let's think of God in those perspectives. And we pray for every father also that have these attributes in them to be like the great shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep, it's our Lord Jesus Christ himself. We also want to be like him. We pray for renewed grace to the fathers to continue to do that. For every father that has been doing that, we celebrate them. Praise God. I mean, many of us have various kinds of fathers in our lives. We have our Heavenly Father, of course. It's number one. We have spiritual fathers. We have earthly fathers. We have even adopted fathers. You know, sometimes some people just say, well, he's going to be my whatever,
mentor, my role model, my this, my that, you know, taking people in their lives. It may be an uncle, it may be an older person, you know, and so forth. You know, all these people that have been one way or the other influential in our lives, who are men, who have shown us the way, I call them the shepherding fathers in our lives. And we celebrate them for all that they have done and all that they do. And I particularly celebrate my Heavenly Father today. I don't have any more earthly parents like that. Neither does my wife. And we kid around sometimes and say, well, we're orphans. 0 for 4. But, see, we have a Heavenly Father. And did you know that, you know, my wife happens to be my sister? Because we are both named by the same name of the Lord, of whom all the family in heaven and earth is named. She's a child of God, and so am I. Praise God. And if you think of her that way, well, and you take care of her, because she's a daughter of the King. And God is with us in that relationship. And again, Jesus was praying that passionate prayer in John 17. You know, first, you know, he told the Father, look, I have declared to them your name, just like you instructed me. And they are your own now. And your hands now. You know, I've done my part. I've declared to them thy word. Thy word is truth. And even the glory you gave me, I've given them and everything. You know, I want you to take care of them. Don't take them out of the earth, but take care of them. And he just prayed for us. And if you can understand that, you can enjoy that relationship that Jesus introduced. If there's anybody in the room or listening to this later on, and if you might share this lesson with others, we want to give an invitation to anyone that is not experiencing God as a father to come and taste and see that the Lord is good like that. Yes. You know, it starts by giving, you know, people say, give your life to Christ. Well, it starts by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as the means to that relationship. Jesus came to redeem us back to God, confessing our sins and asking the Lord for forgiveness to make us a child of God. You know, the young man said, look, I'm not even worthy. Father said, no, you are worthy. You're always my son and you always will be my son. Hallelujah. Come on in. Come back in. And if anyone has also wandered away, come back to the Father. I'm going to pray a prayer of appreciation to our Heavenly Father, and also appreciation for the men, godly men in our lives, in your lives, that have been that good shepherd and done, you know, play that role. The Lord bless every one of them. Father, I thank you today on behalf of myself, everyone that's listening, and indeed all your children. We acknowledge you as our Father, and we say, Lord, hallowed be thy name. We say, Lord, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The dominion, the majesty, and everything is yours. And thou art exalted as head above all. You know, Lord, we acknowledge you today. You know, all good and perfect gifts come from you, the Father of lights, from whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. In thy hand, O Lord, is power. In thy hand is might. In thy hand, O Lord, it is to make great, you know, and to give strength unto all. And you've done these things in our lives. We've known you as a father. We've known you as a friend. We've known you as a comforter. You're always there. And you're the one that we can always come back to. Even when there's nobody else, you're always there. You've never given up on us. The whole world, you pay the price. Anyone that will come, anywhere in the world, throughout all your dominion, have paid one price, and we can all come. And we thank you, Lord, that we're enjoying that relationship. We honor you. And we do not frustrate the grace of God. May your nature reflect through us in Jesus' name. For all the fathers, may the nature of a heavenly Father continue to reflect through us. The great shepherd of the sheep. May he teach us to be that kind of shepherd to our families as well. And for all the men that have been playing that role, the best of their abilities, the Lord bless everyone and enable you with grace, with mercy, with goodness of God to continue to do the same. Father, we thank you. Thank you for all that you have provided for us richly to enjoy. You are the one that opens your hands, satisfy the desire of every living thing, much more so your own children who are called by your name. And we thank you, Lord. And these are your children. And I present them before you today. These are your children. Help us to recognize that and to enjoy that relationship with the Father. We honor you, Lord, our Heavenly Father, today. We honor all the men as well who are true shepherds in their homes over their children, their families, loving husbands and all. And we give the Lord the praise and give the Lord the glory. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father and extending to us that relationship to be your children. We have this confidence and come to him and say, Abba, Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.